Welcome to Nonprofit Expert, presented by Donor Perfect.
Welcome to the Nonprofit Expert podcast, presented by Donor Perfect. My name is Daryl Moser. I am a Donor Perfect product manager, and my passion is all things tech related to helping nonprofits succeed. Today, we're exploring how to get digitally connected to your donors and why connection matters. With me today is Matthew Montoya, Senior Manager, Indirect Customer Ops and Success. But let me focus on customer success, because Matthew, you and I have known each other for a long time, and the information that you bring to our customers is incredible. So please tell us a little bit about your role at Constant Contact and why nonprofits are inspired by the work that you do.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Daryl. I have been with Constant Contact for 14 years now. I'm going into my 15th year. I can't believe it. And my role at Constant Contact has been purely to teach Constant Contact, teach digital marketing, so that nonprofits and for-profits are successful. I have a particular place in my heart for nonprofits. As people that have seen me through Donor Perfect, through the webinars and live sessions that we've done, in person, they may have heard that I worked for a nonprofit preceding my time at Constant Contact. I worked at a nonprofit for 4 years, and it was the hardest job I've ever loved. It was a very small staff, two people, the executive director and myself, a couple of volunteers, and we had to wear a lot of different hats. And, you know, finding time to do digital marketing was hard. We had a lot of other things to do. And yet the importance of doing marketing and digital marketing was always there. And so I am particularly passionate about taking my knowledge of digital marketing, and Constant Contact to help nonprofits grow, because I wish I had somebody like that to help me when I was at the nonprofit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Makes sense. And with digital marketing, one of the things that is so key right now in the nonprofit space is connection. And how do you actually establish connection when you're not shaking a hand, when you're not maybe face-to-face with someone? And so really this first question digs into, how does digital connection differ from traditional forms of communication and fundraising? Matthew, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, digital connection, you know, is actually pretty unique compared to other kinds of media because it's immediate, but most importantly, it's measurable. And I'm going to talk about that because that's where I'm particularly passionate when it comes to digital marketing, is being able to measure. And it's more than just measure success or failure. It's the ability to measure interest. So digital marketing, especially email marketing, when you deliver email marketing for a nonprofit, sure, you're trying to get the message out. Sure, you're trying to get people to take the action, make the donation, get volunteers, inform the public. But the magic of digital marketing, especially email marketing, is the ability to measure interest. When you send an email out, the audience, the subscribers, are letting you know what particularly they're interested in. And the savvy nonprofit is going to take that information and cultivate it so that they're sending more relevant content to the people that said, yes, I'm interested in that. Yes, I'm interested in the other. And in an interesting way, you have a connection with people because you're sending them information that they're interested in. How do you know they're interested in it? Because they raised their hand by clicking on a button, by clicking on a link. And you're able to send that more relatable content to them, bridging that connection.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we call the connection measurement inside of Donor Perfect is their engagement. And so a lot of the data that we get back from Constant Contact in the integration shows up in terms of opens and clicks and so forth. And we can get some real information. As you said, it's a measurable form of engagement and how well you're doing at the connection. So both traditional and digital are merely forms of communication. But what are the key differences? And how do you speak or communicate digitally? Do you change your message at all?
Yes, I do. So in hearkening back to the first point I made, which is the more relevant you can make content, the more relatable it's going to be. But one thing that I have seen nonprofits struggle with in my 14 years is, one, taking this idea of segmentation, of taking a large list and cutting up into smaller lists. If anybody watching, if you want to imagine oversimplification of this idea of segmentation, it's donor v non-donor. right? That's a very binary version of segmentation. You would want to talk to previous donors differently than people that have yet to donate, right? So one is nonprofits struggle with that idea. And I get it. Small staff, busy. Matt, now you're telling me to send out two emails rather than just one. If you want to be the most successful, yes. The other thing I find nonprofits struggle with is keeping their content when it comes to email marketing short. Brevity really matters. Brevity, timing, and relevance are the key pieces of email marketing success. Messages need to be short, very intentional, very tailored. The power of that is that you are able to give that relevant content where people can scan it and understand what it is you're trying to do very, very quickly. On top of that, you want to think beyond just email marketing, but digital marketing, right? So an omni-channel type of experience. You want to meet people where they are. So it's more than just delivering an email, more than just hitting posts on social media. It's about engaging people broadly where they are. If we think about it, and I'd be willing to bet that most people tuning in, probably already doing social media marketing. It's generally going to be the first thing that a nonprofit starts to do because it's easy and a lot of people think it's free. And so if we go omnichannel and meet people where they are, 59% of potential donors generally are going to be engaging on social media, 33% on email, and 15% via text messages, SMS. And so making sure that we send out information that is brief, to the point, timely, and focused with that relevant content, omni-channel, meeting people where they are, we're going to get the best return on our time investments possible.
Those are some incredible stats. And I would have not anticipated that social was that high, but to see a 33% engagement in email. And of course, we know that SMS has actually been a growing segment. People are taking that as their preferential communication means. And when you talk about segmenting, and one of the most common ways is trying to differentiate between the donor and somebody who is actually just paying attention to your organization. And I oftentimes think about, you know, are you speaking with empathy? Can you imagine what it would be like to be a donor and not be recognized for the fact that you've given a gift, to be treated as though you're almost like brand new to the organization, or even on the flip side, as if you're somebody who's not given to the organization yet and being labeled as thank you for your gift? I mean, those simple kinds of faux pas are things that we want to try and avoid with the segmentation. So sending the right message to the right people at the right time and in the right channels. You were just speaking about that in terms of those three different channels. So how is the fundraiser to know the right everything? Like, how do you know if you've got it right? I mean, you talked about measurement a bit, but
it really starts out with listening. So when you are communicating digitally, and when people react to that, whether that's a like, a comment, a click in an email, a response via text message, they're speaking to you. They're talking to you. They're talking to you through those tools. And so it is important, in fact, I would dare say imperative, for a nonprofit to listen. So many times I've talked to nonprofit leaders who are very proud of themselves, and rightfully so, that they got the message out. Oh, we got it out. Now let's move on to the next thing. And I'll say, okay, well, what are your results? What? What do you mean? What are my results? No, how successful was your campaign? You crafted this message, sent it out through social. What was your engagement? You sent out this email appeal. What was your click rate? And it is more often than not, Daryl, where the nonprofit I'm talking to says, oh, we don't really look at the click rate, but our open rate is awesome. Okay, well, the open rate doesn't really tell you anything. Now, just for anybody that's unfamiliar with email marketing, there's different kinds of measurements that you can look at when you send out email marketing. And the one that most people pay attention to is that open rate, the percentage of people that you sent an email to that opened it. The problem with open rate is that it simply doesn't tell you anything. There's several reasons for that. One is somebody may have received an email from you, opened it, immediately closed it. Well, you really can't pat yourself on the back with that. Two, they could have had their email program show a preview. Well, that counts as an open. But most impactfully is back a couple of years ago, Apple changed the rules and now mark any email that lands on their devices, any device, as opened. And so open rate has always been problematic, but now it's even more problematic. And so when I ask these nonprofits about what's your click rate percentage, how are you doing with click rates? That is the most important metric, because that proves the email was delivered, proves it was read, proves it was opened, and tells a nonprofit specifically what people found of value in that email. And if we think about it, let's imagine a world, Daryl, where a nonprofit sends out the most beautiful email. In fact, it has a very clear call to action: donate now. That's really all the email has, is the ability or the offer to donate. And somebody clicks a link in that. Well, what are they telling that nonprofit? They click that donate link. They're very invested in that communication. They're very invested in that nonprofit. And so if I was running a nonprofit, I would be paying very close attention to that click rate, because that subscriber is speaking back to me. And I would certainly pay attention to the delta between people that clicked the donation link but didn't donate, because that's telling me something very important, that this person is very close to donating, but they need a little bit more encouragement. And I might send a follow-up email to them to push them over the edge to make that donation.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you talk about that. And of course, you know, in our business with the tech, after you click that link and you get to the donation form, that's another piece of technology that we have to make sure is absolutely spot on, and coaching our nonprofits to be able to develop a form that is actually very welcoming and receiving and simple to use and make it easy to give is another one of those reasons that you have to be able to convert that click rate into an actual gift. Matthew, you talked about actually speaking to your donors and measuring things like click rates. Do you ever suggest that they also try and grab an anecdotal feedback, or pick up the phone and talk to them? How would you fit that into your feedback?
Absolutely. I mean, let's call it like it is. I wouldn't necessarily suggest a nonprofit solely do appeal emails. There's several reasons for that. One is you might be diluting the story of your nonprofit if you're only asking for donations. Two, not every person that might be on an email list is able to donate right now. There could be things going on in their lives, or they're busy, or whatever the case is. They're just not at the point right then to make a donation. So if we solely ask for the donation constantly, well, we could be burning out our list, right? Because they're just unable to take action right then. And that comes back to relevancy. If I keep getting nothing but appeal emails from a nonprofit that maybe I even care about, and I'm motivated by, I'm moved by, well, what they're teaching me is that my communication has no value, right? That it is irrelevant to me. And what will happen is that I will start to tune out the marketing coming from that nonprofit. And that's the danger zone. A lot of nonprofits are very concerned about unsubscribes, and I could go on for a whole podcast on why unsubscribes are not necessarily something to worry about. The bigger danger is people just tuning you out. And so you want to have regular non-appeal communication. You can have a donation link in an email, but you want to do storytelling. You want to talk about how the nonprofit is impacting the community, how you're making right with the mission, how donations are being leveraged to help the world, or whatever it is your nonprofit does. And so that's one way to balance out just solely asking for money all the time. The other piece is when, coming back to your question, when you send out emails and you have content beyond just the appeal, you can actually learn more about your subscribers. So imagine an email that has my donation button, but also a story or two. Perhaps there was an event, perhaps there's something done in the community. Well, when people click on links to learn more about what you did, you're learning a little bit more about the subscriber. Now, this is a broad audience, right? So all of you are servicing different needs. You have different kinds of events and other things going on in your world, but let's just kind of simplify it. Based on, let's say that I have an event write-up about an event that I held. Well, I'm learning that this subscriber is interested in events. They're interested in this kind of activity. Perhaps if it was a very geographically based event, I'm learning that they live on this side of town, or they're more likely to do XYZ. And so it is important to balance out the communication with content that will motivate the audience, but also give the nonprofit the ability to listen for more details about the subscriber. Because as I said, every single time email marketing is sent out, audience is speaking to you, you need to make sure you listen.
Excellent, excellent feedback on that. And so one of the pieces to really look at too is with digital marketing, there is a cost associated with that, but the whole cost metric and the ROI changes. Tell us a little bit about, you know, if you're going to get this kind of good information back from doing digital marketing, what are your expenses and what kind of statistics do you end up seeing in that area?
Well, you know, the long walk I'll take you on this one, Daryl, is when I first started 14 years ago at Constant Contact, you know, I was very excited to get this job at a software company. And I, you know, told all my friends I'm working at Constant Contact. And they're like, congratulations, keep your resume polished. Well, that's an odd thing to say. And they say, well, because email marketing is going out of business. Now, if we think back 14 years ago, Facebook was really surging, right? It was revolutionizing the way we communicate, revolutionizing the world. And the common thinking back then was that the social media was just going to devastate email marketing. We're still here. We're still here. And the reason for that, firstly, you know, anybody that's listening and watching, look at what's in your inbox. You're getting emails from large corporations and small nonprofits and medium-sized nonprofits. They're still using email marketing. Why? Because of the ROI, the return on investment. So the average return on investment is $36 for every dollar spent. And email marketing is remarkably effective because it's not that expensive. And so the ability to get $36 for every dollar should be very encouraging to a nonprofit who probably doesn't have large margins to begin with. So you can have a very effective way to communicate with people without much cost out of pocket. The other power of email marketing, besides its fantastic ROI and besides its ability to have you be able to listen to people, is that it's ubiquitous. I would dare say that anybody watching or listening, if you think about your own life, what was one of the very first things you did today? Probably pulled out your phone. Sure, you looked at your notifications and social media, but you probably checked your email. 91% of humans check their email daily. 61% actually like getting promotional emails. Now, you might go, well, we don't promote. Yeah, you do. You're just promoting a different kind of product. And the reason why people enjoy getting those kind of promotional emails is that they're relevant, right? And like, if I'm getting something that is useful to me, then I'm going to like it. I'm going to take advantage of it. And so for those reasons and much more, you get that consistent visibility, you get that consistent return on investment that can continue to drive the mission of the nonprofit forward. It's hard to beat.
That's excellent. It's a stewardship of the nonprofit. It's spending where you're going to get the return. And one of the stats that you had in there, and I just want to pull that back up because it really kind of blew me away, because people used to ask, well, how many times per month, per year should I be emailing my donors? And the 61% of consumers that enjoy receiving weekly, right? That's kind of different than the age old, like back in the day when we started with Constant Contact, it was like, well, once a month, we're going to send out a newsletter. Email. So this weekly creates a higher frequency of context. And is it, how do you change what you put in those weekly emails?
Well, you know, it first starts with taking a big step back and going, how segmented can I make my list? You know, I gave the example, the binary example of donor v non-donor, but there's a wider way that you should approach segmenting your list. Now, each nonprofit might have wildly different variations on this, but you could have geographic segmentation or demographic segmentation. Are they interested in this, that, or the other? And so that empowers a nonprofit to send more emails. I wouldn't consistently send an email to the same group every single week, but I may send more targeted emails more frequently. The reason why you can get away with that is because it's useful. It's got that content in, that is going to be relevant to the audience. The other piece of that is making sure that you are consistently sending out that useful information. You don't want to email just email. I've met so many nonprofits that just, they feel compelled. We've got to get that bi-monthly email out no matter what. Well, make sure you're taking time to not just think through segmentation, but also think through, is this content useful in developing unique and appealing, pun intended, content Don't just send to send.
Makes sense. Makes sense. So your discussion about relevance is going to lead us into this next topic area, which is storytelling. So in order to build a connection, we know that the donors have to be able to feel like they're a part of your organization. They know what you do. They know why they give, because there's stories that they've heard inside of your organization that just really move their heart. So this first question was, Matthew, in your 14 years, I mean, is there any one story that has jumped out at you from the nonprofit community as to like this incredible, compelling story? And what can we learn from that?
I have a story about storytelling. So my first 5 years at Constant Contact, my job was to travel the country 3 weeks out of four. And for 2 or 3 days of that week, teach an 8 hour long digital marketing class. And in part of that class, we would talk about storytelling and how important it was to make your content reflect your audience. So many for-profits and nonprofits make their content all about them and not about their audience. And as a way to illustrate this power of storytelling, it seems so full of forethought now, but it was really me just trying to connect to my class. I said, all right, well, you know, we'd had introductions a couple of hours before, so I knew which nonprofits were in the room. Having come from a nonprofit, I knew that nonprofits should be able to do the storytelling well, right? And so I said, hey, you're a nonprofit. Tell us your story. Well, tell us about your mission. The person would tell story, tell mission. And I'd go through the 2 or 3 nonprofits that I'd have in the room on average. And one time I was in Hartford, Connecticut. And this part of the class was usually 1 hour 5 or so. And I call on my nonprofits to tell their stories. And maybe my second or third nonprofit who I picked to tell their story stood up and she said that her nonprofit was devoted to crafting paper flowers. That's interesting. Tell us more. They crafted paper flowers for kids in the hospital with cancer. And the reason for that is that some kids, you know, the pollen and the flowers were problematic in the hospital. And they would donate these flowers, these beautiful flowers, very artistic. They'd donate these flowers to the children. And there was not a gasp, but you could tell as the person was telling the story very, very emotionally of how their nonprofit was built. And you could tell it was moving the class. And the person that I picked went on to say, I did this because my child had cancer and they later passed and I decided to devote my life to this. And everybody was just kind of in awe. And this may sound like hyperbole, Daryl, but it's not. Three people, for profits, stood up and said, can I donate to you? Can I give you some money? Like right now. And they did. And I said, that's the power of storytelling, right? Is taking the importance of the nonprofit, the mission of the nonprofit, the vision of the nonprofit, the background, the history, the impact, and relating it to the audience. And that story has stuck with me ever since. That was such a moving experience. Beyond just what that woman and her nonprofit does, it was just amazing to feel the energy of the impact of a nonprofit live in person.
And I think that's key. Like literally, I had the chills running down my spine as you told that story. And that's the first time I've actually heard you tell that one, Matthew. That's kind of a really interesting, but so appropriate for what we're trying to get across. And now we actually have new tools inside of digital storytelling that you can use inside of your email and so forth, because it's really hard to get that emotion across. I mean, when you were teaching in the class, that person was live. They had their voice tonality and everything else like that could change. So tell us a little bit about how tech has given the ability to put tonality in your email and your communication and so forth from Constant Contact.
Well, one thing I did with that person, and any time that I did this piece of the class where I had nonprofits tell their story, is I would then turn around to the class and say, now capture that story and insert it in your email. capture that story? Well, there's a couple of different ways. One is the written word. I mean, you can tell the story through the written word, and it can motivate, move people. Just tell the story to begin with. But with digital marketing, you have the ability and the absolute power of video. And, you know, it was true 14 years ago. It is more true now than ever. Video is the king of content. Putting a video in your email is really powerful, because if I use a picture of what my nonprofit does, well, that's beneficial, a photo, because a picture tells 1,000 words and we spend very little time actually in an email. And so the fact that that picture is telling a story is great. But we think about video. Video is 1,000 pictures. And so we have the ability to communicate very clearly, very adeptively, but tell that story where you can feel the emotion, you can hear the inflection, you get those pauses, you get that human piece of the marketing. And it is the human piece that motivates people. You know, the old saying about all buying is emotional. Well, I would dare say all donating is emotional. You know, the more that we can relate what we do as a nonprofit to our audience, the impact, the movement, the energy, the passion, the more you're going to pull on people's heartstrings. And some of you might go, well, that's cheesy and that's cliche. That is what makes people open their wallets, is the impact and the emotional humanity of what you do is going to motivate people to do something.
So they're hearing this story and they're feeling connected to the nonprofit and the reason that people are opening up their wallets. And it's interesting. So Matthew, one of the things that you may have heard me talk about this in some of our other work together is like, there's DISC profiles. There are people that get motivated through like a statistical impact, you know, knowing the numbers and hearing that. But the reality of it is those numbers are just a different form of communication to evoke emotion, right? And so, but one of the things that we hear from our donors inside of the Donor Perfect world is that people give because they want to know that they can make an impact. They would like to know where their money will go and how will it actually change? What will the outcome be? And there's a whole discussion inside of the nonprofit community as opposed to outcome versus outputs. And an outcome is really changing the world that we live in. And that's what drives a lot of the motivation to when people end up giving is that they're going to feel and sense some of that. When we talk about those measures, what does Constant Contact see? What have you seen, the emotional versus measured outcomes? How does one digital communication satisfy those donors?
Well, I'm going to give you probably not the best example of this, but it is one that is real and it affected me. So I regularly listen to my public radio station. They have here, it's a jazz station, and I grew up on jazz. My dad, my grandmother, big jazz fans. And they were doing as NPR does, their constant appeal, monthly appeal. And I said, you know what? I have never donated to my NPR station. And so I got on my computer and I donated. And I got an email back saying, thank you for your donation. You have enabled us through your gift to play, it was like 2 days worth of music. And I sat back and I said, wow, that's really cool. I am providing jazz to my community for 2 days. But you know, something else happened. I was like, just 2 days? I could give more. I mean, I'd like to supply them a month's worth of music. And guess what I did? I donated again. I became a monthly giver. And so that is one illustrative of sending that relevant content, thanking people for their action. But it was a really clever piece of marketing, because I'm wondering if my NPR contact, the person that actually set up that email, knew what they were doing. Like that, you know, obviously what they were looking at, and I highly suspect that this is true, is they were truly giving me that quantitative, like, this is your impact. But they also knew that I threw in, I can't remember what I threw in, but maybe $25. And so they knew that, you know, okay, $25 gift, you know, this many hours of music, that's probably not going to be enough for this person, right? Like, they know that my persona is trying to give, but also there was that element of like, I'm doing this for others, right? Almost a selfish activity. Like, I am providing the world with music. Look at me. And I thought that was such a clever piece of marketing. And it showed me that they were listening, they were watching, and they were anticipating my next step. And I've loved that they've done that. And I mean, I've now been a monthly a monthly contributor. I want to say this was 6 years ago. It was during COVID. So this would have been 5 years ago.
Interesting. So you also touch on something that we get asked a lot is should I ask them to give again in the thank you? But think about, as you said, the craftiness of that communication was very smart in terms of talking about the impact. And we know that not only in the email communication, but even when you get to the donation form, if you can translate the dollars into impact, so many people will, you know, have a meal, or we will be able to provide housing for this. It's some material form that is measurable. And just like you said with NPR, you are actually able to see your way through to delivering more music to more people just because you could make it tangible at that point. It wasn't just dollars and cents anymore.
They pulled on my heartstrings. To be honest, and I don't want people to over-index on what I'm saying, I felt a bit guilty. And I don't think that was their per se intent of the reply back, but it was certainly my response is that, you know, quite truthfully, I was in a position where, yes, I could afford more than that one gift. I felt like this is enough. And it gave me a chance to really look at what I actually wanted to contribute. And I don't mean that financially. I mean, like, I really want to have a stake in this. This means something to me and I want to play a role. And so the idea of on that donation form, in my email marketing, in my social media marketing, in my text marketing, reflecting back the human side of whatever it is you do, not just here's the pictures of the kids we help, or here's the community center we built, or here's how we enhance this garden. It's also realizing that your subscribers, your followers on social media, they're human and they're paying attention to you because they have a need too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Very true. So one of the other pieces that we can take from the storytelling is the segmentation, right? And so one of the things that we've learned is that segmentation can deliver six times the donation rates that are out there. That's when you think about six times the number of dollars that are coming in, if you intelligently segment your communication going out to your donors, what are some of the best means that you have found to divide up your list, to change what you're saying to your donor community? What's going to create that kind of six multiplier impact?
Firstly, and this is going to be for part of the audience, I hate to say it, but I've just seen it. I don't have a percentage breakdown, but I know that part of your audience is suffering from what I'm about to describe, which is we are well beyond the days of the one email to everybody. You know, that classic monthly newsletter sent out to the entire world. A lot of people call it an e-blast, an email blast. Nothing wrong with the concept of the newsletter. Nothing wrong with the concept. You can call it an e-blast if you want. More, I'm talking about that one omnibus email sent to everyone. The reality is the average email subscriber spends 9 seconds with an email. 9 seconds. We've talked earlier about the power of the ROI in email marketing, the power to tell a story and affect people emotionally through digital marketing. But we have a 9 second window of time in front of people, Daryl. And gone are the days where we can send out that one email for everyone, because how in the world is that email going to be relevant for everyone? Our goal as nonprofit digital marketers is to remember that the email is not the destination. The social media post is not the destination. The SMS text message is not the destination. It is an advertisement for the destination. It is a billboard for the destination. We want people to get in that email, click, and go as quickly as possible. And where do they go? Well, maybe they go to our donation form. Maybe they go to read some more blog content. Maybe they go watch a video about the impact of the nonprofit. We want that click because one, it's measured. We talked about that earlier, but it also shows a commitment. when somebody decides to click on a link, they're saying, okay, I want to learn more. They're now more invested. Now they're going to spend more time. Now they're going to think about the impact, the pros, the cons. Now you're going to have a chance to pull at their heartstrings. And so that comes back to segmentation. Segmenting our list allows us to send the most relevant content possible. So what are some ways that you could do that? It is going to depend on the nonprofit audience today. For some of you, you're really going to want to look at that geographic breakdown, especially in like large metros. If you're trying to do, let's say, an event, right? Or maybe a volunteering opportunity. You need to be conscious that it could be very, very hard for people to do something in the Southeast, and your thing is, and they're living in the Northeast part of the city. We have to be conscious of that. You also want to think through your demographics, and the demographics could be age-based, income-based, especially income-based. And some of you might go, well, I don't know the income level of my audience. Well, you can ask, and you can ask through email, like, hey, we're trying to communicate to you better. Click on your approximate income level, right? You want to think through what people's roles are and what kind of influence they might have. And then also behavioral. Pay attention to those clicks. Pay attention to past donations. Pay attention to who's not interacting. So many people, when they look at digital marketing metrics, they get very excited about the people that are taking action. And I get it, right? You're getting more donations. You're getting more volunteers, more attendees. But think about those people that are not taking action. If somebody willingly gave you their email address, if they willingly following you on social media, if they willingly gave you their phone number, permission to text them, they're more invested, obviously, than somebody who didn't. But then if they don't take action in any of that digital marketing, we're losing them. And so you definitely want to pay attention to the people that are not taking action and change the way you communicate to them. I might carve out the people that have not interacted, let's say, with my email marketing in a while, and I might try a different kind of email communication, more strong verbiage in my subject line, different kinds of content to try to get them engaged again. So many nonprofits ignore the people that aren't paying attention to their content.
Interesting. So those are all great examples of the way that nonprofits should be looking at their data. And again, a lot of that data ends up coming, you know, from the CRM. With the integration that we have with Constant Contact, we're able to send in your lifetime giving. What was the date of your most recent gift? Some of those income demographics and so forth are actually data appends that we can put into the DonorPerfect CRM that then feeds Constant Contact to try and make the information that you're sending out via email more relevant. So all of this works together to create a really winning combination of being able to fundraise. One of the other pieces that we've been talking about for a while, it's been in the for-profit space, has been multi-channel. And so in a couple of weeks, actually, I have to give a presentation speaking about the donor tendencies of millennials and the new generations that are coming along. And we talk about email and social and SMS. And we've had some SMS products that have been out there for a while. You used the term ubiquitous earlier in our conversation. It has not quite gotten to the point of being as ubiquitous as being email communication. But generationally, do you anticipate that this could change? Do you see that future generations are going to be more receptive to wanting to see SMS as their mix of communication?
I mean, we see it in our data at Constant Contact, but I also see it just personally. I mean, you know, my teenagers will text me from their bedrooms. I would caution everybody though not to over-index on the generational piece. I mean, I don't want to use my own personal story too much here, but my father, he is in his late 70s. He is omni-channel. He likes social media. He communicates via email. He texts. He likes phone calls. Like, don't assume, oh well, our generation's older. Our audience is older, so they're going to be more likely to check email. Yes, there are delineations around age, but the more important thing is think omni-channel. Try to communicate in a variety of different digital spaces to meet your audience where they are. If it's a millennial who's in email, you're meeting that millennial. If it's a baby boomer who is on social, you're meeting them there. Like, don't assume the generational divide. Be where your audience is, and your audience is spread across the digital landscape.
That's really good feedback. And sometimes I think you're exactly right, Matthew. I think we want to think about it as being a generational box, but it's not. It's not. We're seeing that there are different skills and interests and just preferences of communication. So
when you go omnichannel, you can extend a donor's relationship up to 76%. And what that kind of metric tells me is that we do need to stop thinking so generationally. You need to be in as many places as you have the time to be there. Don't ignore a social, don't ignore a digital marketing channel because you assume your audience isn't there. You're going to be leaving donations on the table.
That makes sense. So our last topic here is what we call call to action. And so all of this communication is great, but there is a desired motivation of what we want to see this prospective donor do, or donor from the past. So tell us a little bit more about how does the call to action fit into the digital communication styles that you're talking about? I know we talked about the donate button, but, you know, are there better lead-in methods that will, you know, placement, all those things as to, you know, what's the best way to approach a call to action inside of it?
I'll focus on email. So as I said before, you have about 9 seconds with your audience. And so you really want to focus on making your email as simple as possible. So as I said, gone are the days where we can have 5 or 6 or 7 articles with 7 different links or 15 different links with 10 different images. The more simple you make your email, the more successful it will be. So what does that mean? That means about a paragraph of text, 1 image, not including your logo. And I would suggest no more than 2 calls to action. Now, when I say 2, that little bit of a pregnant pause there was intentional. I would actually have a very clear button in my email, donate now, attend, register, whatever it is. And I would make an image. An image is important, having an image, because that image tells 1,000 words, or a video, be clickable to the same location so that you're giving people 2 ways to get to the same location. You want to have that very simple, noticeable call to action. Because 1, nobody actually reads content in an email. They scan and they skim it. And so they're going to get the gist of it. What's in it for me? And then here's what I want you to do. And when you have a clear call to action, you can increase clicks up to 371%. Already talked about the importance of clicks, right? You're getting to learn more about your subscriber. 371% increase in your click rate is going to mean more to your bottom line. They know exactly what you're asking to do, and you make it easy for them to do it, you are going to see an increase in behavior. Similarly, one of my most passionate items that I talk to nonprofits about is make sure you also have automation set up to, at the bare minimum, welcome people to your email marketing list. When you send out a welcome email, think about it, Daryl, if you go to my nonprofit website, you're motivated, you give me your email address, well, I would be very smart to immediately send you an email thanking you for subscribing. And I would be very smart to put my donation link in that email and tell you about the impact my community, my organization provides for the community, and how you can help impact that mission. Because automated welcomes generate 160% higher open rates and 616% higher click rates. Because when somebody subscribes to an email, that is the most motivated they are going to ever be. And so if you take anything out of today's presentation, hopefully it's segment, tell your story, and please set up a welcome email tied to when somebody joins your list.
Wow, that's incredible. Those stats are crazy. And there must be something about the timing as well. And I don't know if there's any material on it as to, like, how quick should it be? I mean, we're living in a world where this could be seconds.
Yeah, instantaneous, like no more than 5 seconds. And Constant Contact has the power that when a contact is either added to a list through Donor Perfect or through a form fill, you can immediately send out that email automatically.
Wow. Responsiveness. It means that the prospective donor knows that you're paying attention, or at least that you have the systems set up to pay attention. So we would be remiss in having a technology conversation in this day and age without at least touching on AI. And so we're on the topic of a connection here, and how do we establish connection? We talked about segmentation. So my question is AI going to be a help to us in this daunting task of connecting to donors? Or is there a chance it can go in the wrong direction? Like, people will begin to see through it and say, oh, that's an AI message.
I would dare say a little bit of both. So firstly, I use artificial intelligence all the time, every single day. Artificial intelligence is built within Constant Contact to help a nonprofit build that perfect email with that clear call to action, write content. But AI should help you, not replace you. Yes, there is AI written content that does feel canned and dry. AI should be a help. It should actually be your co-writer, not your voice. So I've been in marketing for over 20 years. I've said several times, I've been at Constant Contact 14 years. I know how to write marketing copy. I know how to write effective marketing copy. But the fact that I can get AI to craft up, think of it as a draft, all right? I put in my ideas, I get the draft. Well, that just saved me 5, 10, 15 minutes that I can then further refine the draft, bringing in my humanity and having that human piece just can't be replaced. To having that piece of the storytelling that's clearly coming from the heart, clearly coming from the mission, is still going to play a role. But artificial intelligence can help quite a bit in crafting a strategy, but also content. But you should think of it as an assistant, not a replacement.
That's great feedback. And the balanced approach is usually the best way to go. So Matthew, as we wrap up today, I want to thank you so much. Again, our guest is Matthew Montoya from Constant Contact. He is so knowledgeable in terms of how to communicate with our nonprofit community. Matthew, if there was one call to action that you have for our listeners today, what would it be as you leave them?
Well, I've proven I can't give one word answers, Daryl. I'll say a few. Set up that welcome email. Make sure you're taking a step back and saying, am I sending the most relevant content possible through multi-channel, omni-channel marketing? And if you are a Donor Perfect customer, do know you have Constant Contact available to you for no extra charge. Use it. Get the word out. Use the power of Donor Perfect and Constant Contact together to help grow your mission.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Matthew. And we just really appreciate your input and how you share with this community and how much it means to all of us that, you know, work with nonprofits every day. So thank you all.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Nonprofit Expert, presented by Donor Perfect. For more information and a special offer, visit donorperfect.com/podcast.